Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
The Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 17. Description of the Varnashram System, Text 32. Agnau
Urabra
Atmani
Cha
Sarva
Bhuteshu
Mam
Param
Aprita
Dear
Pasita
Brahma
Varchasvi
Akalmasha
Agnagura Vatmanicha Sarva Bhuteshu Mampara Apritagdirupasita
Brahma Vachasvya Kalmasha
Agnagura Vatmanicha Sarva Bhuteshu Mampara
Apritagdirupasita
Brahma Vachasvya Karmasha
Agnagura Vatmanicha
Sarva Bhuteshu Mampara
Apritagdirupasita
Brahma Vachasvya Karmasha
Agnagura Vatmanicha
Sarva Bhuteshu Mamparam
Apritagdirupasita
In fire.
Gura.
In the spiritual master.
Atmani.
In oneself.
Cha.
Also.
Sarva Bhuteshu.
In all living entities.
Ma. Me.
Param.
The Supreme.
Apritakdir.
Without any concept of duality.
Upasita.
One should worship.
Brahmavarchasvi. Possessing Vedic enlightenment.
Akalmasha.
Sinless. Translation. Thus, enlightened in Vedic knowledge by service to the spiritual master, freed from all sins and duality, one should worship me as the super soul. As I appear within fire, the spiritual master, one's own self, and all living entities. Purport. One becomes glorious and enlightened by faithfully serving a bona fide spiritual master who is expert in the Vedic way of life. Thus purified, one never engages in sinful activities which immediately extinguish the fire of spiritual enlightenment. Nor does one become foolish and small-minded, trying to exploit material nature for personal sense gratification. a purified human being is a pretag deed, or without consciousness of duality, because he has been trained to observe the Supreme Personality of Godhead within all things. Such sublime consciousness should be systematically taught throughout the world, so that human society will become peaceful and sublime. Agnau gura vatmanicha sarvabhute shumam param apritag dhir upasita brahma varchas vyakarmasha. Thus enlightened in Vedic knowledge by service to the spiritual master, freed from all sins and duality, one should worship me as the Supersoul, as I appear within fire, the spiritual master, one's own self, and all living entities. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasadaya Udleja Madhivanta Vedanta Swamaniti Narami Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pastichyadesh Dharane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Brahmanityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Srivasthi Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So yes, continuing the description of the Brahmachari, celibate student in spiritual life. And of course this also applies to the Brahmacharinis, the unmarried ladies who are full-time absorbed and engaged in the process of Krishna consciousness. So gradually over the last several verses, different elements of the picture of what is such a Brahmachari, celibate student, Brahmacharini, different elements of the overall picture have been presented. Yesterday, of course, we discussed about the particular type of Brahmachari who is going to go on for the rest of his life as a Brahmachari without marrying or becoming involved with the opposite sex at all, and keeping completely, fully engaged in Krishna consciousness and really going a lot deeper into the Vedic literatures like this. So now this verse, though, is explaining how, if one lives as has been described in the last several verses, if one applies all these different principles and then lives the life of Krishna consciousness very nicely and fully engaged in the service of the spiritual master and hearing regularly from the spiritual master and taking that message into the heart, then results come. Results come. Of course, in any material educational process, when we go to school or some university, college, etc., then there's some process. It's a step-by-step process. And if you follow it nicely and if you really apply yourself well, then there will also be a result. There will also be a result. You'll get your qualification, your material qualification, and then you can take it. You'll get a piece of paper, and you can go around and show potential employers how you've got it, and one may accept you. And if they don't accept you, you can have it framed and put it on the wall. Anyway. We don't want to be negative about it, but anyway, this is how it works, essentially. So, when we apply ourselves as students, in Krishna consciousness, then it's also systematic. There are different aspects to it. And if you apply yourself nicely, you'll get a result. But that result will be something very concrete in spiritual terms. Yes, and something very valuable in spiritual terms means in real terms, substantial terms, you will, in fact, through applying yourself very nicely as a disciple of the spiritual master in the ashram and rendering service and studying the different things to be studied, you will progress towards the lotus feet of Krishna. And the fact that you have made progress, if you really do apply yourself nicely and over a period of time really consistently and thoughtfully, then your progress will be very tangible. You may not get a degree or a diploma or a certificate. Of course, you can also get that. But, you know, we do also give diploma certificates, Bhakti Shastri, etc. Diploma and, well, different things are given by our educational wings of this movement. But this qualification that we're talking about here is something which is really more substantial than that. Of course, that is also substantial. But the thing is, if you have your Bhakti Shastri, but you have not been applying yourself very nicely, and then the end of life comes and the Yamadutas come, then if you pull out your Bhakti Shastri and tell them, get back, Yamadutas, get out, they may not listen. But if you get this qualification which is being described here, the qualification of real spiritual advancement, real Krishna consciousness, then when that time comes, which it will come, it will do, sooner or later, then the Yamadutas won't even come. They won't even come. They came for Ajamil. I think we all know that story of Ajamil. In the sixth canto, beginning of the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So he was like a very intriguing personality, you could say, in that he had lived a particularly sinful materialistic life and been particularly negligent when it comes to anything spiritual or even religious or anything like that. But at the same time, somehow or other, he had chanted the names of the Supreme Lord. Somehow or other. He and his wife had named their last child Narayan. Which is the name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It was not their intention that let us give him a sacred name, a very wonderful spiritual name of God. The thing was that in society in those days, Vedic society, that it was just the common practice to do that. Yeah, just like in the Western world, in the English-speaking world, there are certain names which are very popular. In India, in Russia, for boys, male children, there are traditionally only about 15 names to choose from. It's something like that, literally. And it's extremely unusual that people will choose a name from outside that. It's not more than 15. That's just the culture. And they don't use English names, they don't use Indian names, and in India they use certain names. So it was just the cultural situation that Ajamil was living in that pushed him and his wife, let us choose this name, which happened to be a name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he had that plus, even though it was not his intention, he didn't do it deliberately with any idea. In fact, he had no desire for spiritual advancement. He probably didn't even take it seriously at all. So then he died, or was in the process of dying. And sure enough, the Yamadutas came, because he had been so extremely materialistic. And the Yamadutas come for that sort of person. But as the Yamadutas were in the process of taking him out of his material body, the Vishnu Dutas, the representatives of the Supreme Lord, who come to take the devotees when they die, when they leave their bodies, the Vishnu Dutas came and interrupted them and said, no, you don't take him, we're taking him. He is one of the Supreme Lord's people. And the Yamadutas, knowing the history in Ajamil, they didn't believe it. They couldn't and didn't believe it. And so they argued that no, you can't take him. This is Ajamil, this is this one. He is just exceptionally bad, so there is no doubt at all he must come with us and be punished. I found on my computer yesterday, I had a copy of Garuda Purana, which is particularly, it's the Supreme Lord speaking to Garuda and explaining to him about the hellish, what happens to sinful people, including the hellish planets. Wow. You really don't want to go there. You really, really, really don't want to go there. So yes, the Yamadutas were thinking, he is just the most obvious candidate for going to hell, and this is our duty to take him on his way. But the Vishnu Dutas, there was a whole debate and discussion, and the Vishnu Dutas eventually convinced them that he chanted the names of the Lord, and therefore we are to take him. And this is what happened. So yes, in terms of qualification, the type of qualification being described here, that the person, the brahmachari, renders service, or, of course, the brahmacharini also, they render service to the spiritual master. And as a result of that service, they become enlightened. Not just that they study under the spiritual master. They may also study, they do also study under the spiritual master, but the particular point, qualification being mentioned here, is that the disciples, the brahmacharis, they render service to the spiritual master, and as a result of that service, they become enlightened and realize spiritually. And in that realized state, then their perception of reality and life around them becomes different, becomes completely transcendental. First of all, they see the Supreme Personality of Godhead present everywhere. In that realized state, they actually perceive the presence of the Supreme Lord in one way or another. That may depend on exactly what is their level of advancement, and there are different ways also to see the Lord or appreciate the presence of the Lord. But in other words, they become very conscious of the Lord. Wherever they go, whatever they do, whatever the circumstances are, one way or another, directly and or indirectly, they see the presence of the Supreme Lord. They are very, very Krishna conscious. And in a natural way, they're just seeing and understanding and appreciating. But it doesn't stop there. They also see other people and other things from the same type of perspective. They see actually how the Supreme Lord is present in different types of situations. How the Lord is present within fire. How the Lord is present within the spiritual master, within the guru. How the Lord is present within oneself. And how the Lord is present in all living entities. In other words, they come to see Krishna everywhere. As Krishna explains, Krishna makes the same point in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, verse 35. 434, of course, is very famous. I assume all or many of you will know that verse. 434. Yes. Thank you very much. And ladies, what is the translation? In any language. If you don't mind. Please tell us, Mother Ranga Devi. The answer. Okay. Translation for 434, Bhagavad Gita. Tadvadi Prani. Tell us the translation. Okay. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and read a service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. So then the next verse, 435, just as this verse, well, over several verses we've been hearing about the process, how the brahmachari lives and what he does and so on in different ways. Now this verse is more focusing on the result of having done that nicely. So 435 of Bhagavad Gita is also explaining the result of trying to learn the truth by approaching the spiritual master in those different ways. Who can tell us 435? Bhagavad Gita. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. In effect, that's right. I don't know if I can remember the Sanskrit. Yomam pasyati sarvatra sarvam cha mai pasyate tasyaham na pranasyami something something. Anyway, Krishna is saying, in this way, by the mercy of the spiritual master, you'll come to see that all living beings are but part of me, that they're in me and they are mine. Yeah. Tasyaham na pranasyami, sacha me na pranasyati. 435. So that's the result. That you'll come to see all living beings are within me. And they are mine. They belong to Krishna. We're all parts and parcels of Krishna in the sense of being his property also. And therefore on that basis, to render devotional service is completely natural. So here, yes, a person, through rendering service to the spiritual master, which does actually include studying the scriptures. It's not just a matter of just working, and everything is just revealed. Although certainly work or service to the spiritual master must be there, and is really the key, that real service, in the mood of service, doing authorized service properly for the pleasure of the spiritual master, and actually doing it so it pleases him. This is, you could say, the formula, a type of formula for getting the mercy of the spiritual master. And when one gets the mercy of the spiritual master in that way, in any way, then realization comes. Krishna becomes happy. Krishna sees this devotee pleased my representative. Really, he or she really pleased my representative. And so I want to reciprocate. So Krishna reciprocates from within the heart. Causeless knowledge and detachment arise. What's that verse? Vasudeva Bhagavati. Oh, okay. Jana yat yashu vairagyam jnanam cha yad ahaitakam. By rendering service to Vasudeva, to Krishna, then causeless knowledge and detachment arise within the heart. So if we please, if the disciples please the spiritual master by their service, then Krishna is pleased. And Krishna within the heart reciprocates with, well, he can reciprocate in so many ways, but main ways, such important ways. Causeless knowledge means realization, revelation, enlightenment, plus detachment arrives within the heart. One finds that one is just losing interest in material life and not having to fight with it so much and like that, but in a more naturally spiritual way, one is just more interested in Krishna and just less interested in material existence. So this is such an important thing. And of course, part of that process, it's not really that studying, in our cases, studying Srila Prabhupada's books, really studying Bhagavad Gita and learning Bhagavad Gita and learning what Krishna says in this chapter and at this point in this chapter, You're actually learning it, in other words. And learning Srimad Bhagavatam, learning Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nectar of Devotion, actually learning, becoming educated in these literatures. This is part, it is not like a separate thing that you render service, in other words, you do some sort of work, so to speak, whatever it may be. You may be cooking, you may be cleaning, you may be conducting programs, you may be managing. It's a type of, could be seen as a type of work. It's service. So it's not that that is service, and when you study the literatures in a Krishna conscious way, this isn't something else, it's just education, and it's not really service. It's all part of service. But even having said that, and Srila Prabhupada makes the point in the purports of Bhagavad Gita chapter 10 verse 10 and 10 verse 11. Should I ask you what those verses are? Anyway, but in the purports of those verses, Srila Prabhupada makes it clear that that normally the devotee, the disciple, under the spiritual master, studies the literatures and gets the opportunity to inquire and in that way get clarification on points which he or she needs clarification on. Normally that's the process in one sense, but if the disciple is somehow or other unable to take advantage of that facility, maybe through geographical considerations, living in some isolated place, or even possibly illiterate, still Krishna through the heart, for the sincere devotee, Krishna through the heart will help. And you know, so many devotees say when they first start reading the books, they often have difficulty understanding in certain places what is being said. Did any of you ever had that experience? Yeah. When I first read, you know, I was an avid reader. Wow, completely avid. But then I read the first of Prabhupada's books that I read, and gee whiz, it really was difficult. And I could frankly say I just couldn't really follow it much. But then after a while, you persevere, you carry on in Krishna consciousness. If you're actually living as a devotee and rendering devotional service, then you pick up the book again after a while and then you see, oh right, some understanding comes. So even when you read the book, your understanding or not understanding or degree of understanding is also coming by Krishna's mercy as a reciprocation for your efforts in Krishna consciousness in so many ways. So this is a very important point to understand in Krishna consciousness. In one sense, it is really like the key. It is certainly at least one of the great keys to take the relationship with the spiritual master very seriously and to avail oneself of it. In other words, the spiritual master is not just a person who, when you want to eat something, you pull out his picture and offer the food to it and then put the picture away. But it's a practical, ongoing and developing type of relationship which should be approached in that way. And then results will come. One will become able, not just that one will wake up one morning and see Krishna, but gradually more and more one will appreciate how Krishna is present here and there and in different situations, and how Krishna is reciprocating positively and even perhaps negatively if we do something that we know we shouldn't do, or like that if we commit some offense. Gradually, more and more, one comes to appreciate Krishna's presence in one's life. That is Krishna consciousness, after all, becoming conscious of Krishna. He is there. The problem is a lack of consciousness on our part, not a lack of presence on his part. So gradually, the devotee becomes more conscious of his presence in the devotee's life in so many ways. But then also in other ways, in other types of situations, how the spiritual master is representing Krishna, and how in different ways, if I cultivate the relationship with the spiritual master in that mood of service like that, then I see Krishna's reciprocating with that. So as the verse is stating, and Krishna himself is saying here, that you'll come to see me and appreciate me, and you should worship me as I appear within the spiritual master, as I appear within yourself and all living entities. As Krishna appears within ourselves, we realize more and more clearly, I am actually Krishna's servant. I'm not just some independent person who decided, I'll now serve Krishna. But actually, I'm part and parcel of Krishna. It's only natural that I should serve Krishna. So as one realizes how oneself is part and parcel of Krishna more, then that becomes an inspiration for more and more devotional service and becoming more absorbed. And all living entities are part and parcel of Krishna. One will come to appreciate that through realization more and more, step by step. And therefore the natural way to interact with them is try to help them to become Krishna conscious. Not just avoid them because they're demons, but actually they're part and parcel of Krishna, so I should really participate in trying to help them revive their Krishna consciousness. So these are all different results which come step by step as the devotee renders service to the spiritual master and in that way becomes more and more enlightened in Krishna consciousness. Any comments or questions? Yes?
How does the devotee see Krishna in the fire?
How does the devotee see Krishna? Well, the devotee can appreciate that, particularly in fire sacrifices, the fire is not just symbolically, it's more than symbolical, but there's a type of presence of the Lord in the fire. So then when things are offered to the fire, the Lord is actually accepting them. That's one way at least. Yeah. Madhu Mangal. Oh. What happened? Any other comment or question? Srila Prabhupada ki.